Hey guys, welcome to the Ramon Foster Show. And no, Jim, there was not a Southside beat today because we have a reporter on the scene, Corey Crisson, in Omaha, Nebraska, where today history was made, Moan.
I know.
History was made.
I watched it. Did you, man? Yeah. My wife was going for and my youngest Miles needed Duquesne to win, man. That's what you're speaking of.
Miles,
right?
Picked the Dukes.
They were the least picked team
in the bracket, according to CBS.
They were the least picked brackets
across this country, offices everywhere. Duquesne was the least picked team on anybody's bracket, but not Miles Foster, everybody. No.
My youngest, he was stressing because I think he got that. It was tied up.
Yeah. He picked Duquesne.
He is our analytical son. Both of them are deep thinkers, but Miles is a sports buff, man. So, yeah, he ended up picking the Dukes today. He ended up beating my wife, who picked BYU. I'll be honest with you.
I picked BYU too.
Yeah.
Well, we'll cut Keisha break here. I mean, history was on her side. Let's ring that bell here on this glorious day in Pittsburgh sports.
Let's do it, man.
Oh, man.
It's good.
Incredible stuff. This is a book called Kings of the Bluff that we sell here at the shop downtown, 224 Fifth Avenue, by the way. And it's about the 1955 Dukes who won the NIT, which back then was the main championship.
Oh, what? And I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they were the champions of college basketball. Duquesne. There was a big thing between Duquesne and Pitt for a lot of years, and then the Duquesne program, by the time I went to school there, fell right off. I got to tell you, since you and I talk about this a lot, and I make fun of you with all your orange and your Tennessee and everything, you know how I'm always saying, you know, college athletics don't mean college anything athletic to me, da, 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 whatever. Man, I'm sorry.
It's different, ain't it?
It's different. That was quite the experience today.
Is different. So your issue isn't, look at Rochelle with she's a Duquesne alum, man. So your problem isn't DK college sports. It's your college team has a hard problem winning consistently in big games.
There's nothing consistent. They've been consistent. This was the first time they've been in the tournament since 1977. It's the first time they won a game since 1969. Okay, they've been very consistent.
So again, good things, okay, haven't consistently happened to the Dukes is what you're telling me. And I'm okay with you enjoying it now, DK. This is what it is. And yes, I'm with Lori right there, Duquesne.
You like that, huh?
I do like that.
Donnan points out 77 is a long time. I mean, Steelers were still only two Super Bowls old. If you want to look at it another way here.
For sports teams to not get back like that, yeah, that's a while right there.
Your barber says since Norm Nixon, you know, Norm Nixon was part of that team in 77, and to see him there today with Ray Goss, long time Duquesne play-by-play announcer, Dave Saba, a friend of mine who's been in sports information there for years, to see these people who've been with that university and who believed in the program and who stuck by it through the darkest times and the emptiest arenas. I'm happy for them. That's who I'm happy for today. I'm also happy for a certain big man who plays for the Lakers, who's really taken this to heart.
Who's that?
That would be exactly who you think it is.
LeBron?
He was coached by Keith Dambrot in high school at Akron.
That's right.
And LeBron has never stopped supporting the Duquesne program. Yesterday sent them all of them boxes of shoes. And there's a video of it. It's fantastic with them opening these up and everything. And it's just so much different coming from LeBron.
Yeah, oh, no doubt about it, man. And that type of support, man, is huge for them. I heard them say that on the broadcast. I was just wondering, like, is there somebody else on the Lakers that actually played for them? Because they're in the NBA, I think basketball, they'll have somebody who's a stud at a school like Duquesne or, you know, like Florida Atlantic or something like that that go pro. So I didn't know that was the case. But LeBron's attachment is that's his old coach. DK, what do you do from now? You know, when it comes down to the Dukes, are they the biggest or best college basketball team in Pennsylvania? Is that what you're telling me right now?
I'm not doing that. You know, Pitt actually had a pretty.
You gotta lean in.
I can't lean in. Pitt had a pretty strong season, and they were, of course, the biggest controversy of all the teams that got left out of the what's called the first four, the teams 65 through 68. And I don't have much sympathy for that in general. Look, if you can't be one of the top 64, take the off season off. You know, this is the biggest, broadest tournament in the world. Who invites 68 teams?
I know.
To anything. You know?
Listen, y'all, I don't go at Pitt, okay? I don't. I just need a DK to brag about his squad, man. That's all I was asking for. And yes, as it stands right now, the Duquesne Dukes are reigning supreme in the state of Pennsylvania.
Well, I'll tell you
this. Just is what it is.
Pitt, out of the two schools, out of the two athletic administrations, is the one that's ducking Duquesne in what used to be the annual city game here. Ducking. Oh, yeah, every year. Yeah, that used to be. See, Dan Klimko brings it up here. I missed that city game. It would fill up 18,000 people here at PPG Paints Arena, and then Pitt stopped playing Duquesne because Duquesne started getting good, and Pitt was like, we don't need to be getting embarrassed like this. In case we lose.
Oh, no way, DK.
Yeah, I'll bet you that game comes back in a big hurry now.
I bet it well, do they really want it to? Do they really want it to, DK? I mean, what this does right here is transfers. Guys that are on the fringe of starting and not starting other universities, they see Duquesne make a run like this. These are the types of things that do happen. Kevin, I'm not instigating anything, okay? Dan said it, bit more like running away. That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, but for the for the big school guys that aren't playing, Duquesne becomes a haven for people like, I mean, for places like Duquesne. That's what I'm telling you. Like, that type of stuff happened. Enrollment goes up when Chicago, Loyola Chicago, right? That school enrollment went up when they made a run in the NCAA tournament. The same goes for teams that win big-time ball games on TV as far as football concerned. Enrollment goes up in those moments. So
that's interesting.
It does. That is a proven thing, DK. Win a national championship, your enrollment goes up exponentially, man. I'm talking about by a lot. So now, Duke has that going for him.
It's fun. The whole thing's been fun. You know, I just retweeted it. There's a professor at Duquesne who's a longtime subscriber of ours who just put out an announcement to his students that said, class is canceled tomorrow due to March Madness. Go celebrate. I'll figure it out. That's the entire message. You're going to make her cry over here.
Huh? That is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what happens, too, when it's something that hasn't happened in forever, you know? It was like the Pirates making the playoffs in 2013. Everybody was like Martians had landed.
I remember that. I do remember that. Yes, 100%, man. Hey, this is not an anti-Pitt thing here today, man. We got to get one more member in here. It's 666 in here right now. Come on, somebody
what's
leave.
That? Yeah,
there we go.
674. That's a lot better here.
Hey, y'all hit that like button, man. Subscribe, man. I'm not going to be petty the entire time. We will speak about that too. Julio Garcia bring
Cam
that
Sutton,
up.
We're going to do that right after the first thing in the Hey Moan saying, we don't duck stuff here. We're not Pitt basketball. You know, what do you think we are?
This is the DK I need. I need sports fan DK. You cover the Dukes and you support them, but like now it's hitting you right here. Okay, it's hitting you in the heart right now, DK.
It's different. I'm not going to pretend to be close to the program or anything here. I know some of these people and I know what it means to them. And it's just a, you know how that goes, Mona, because you know people. Tennessee isn't just an institution for you. You know the people. You know the ones who've been there, who've been working, who've been in the background. who've been supporting, who've been going out. Now it's selling NILs and whatever else here. They're the ones that make these things happen. Now, the athletes obviously make it happen.
Absolutely.
I don't mean to, but the ones who've been around the longest, they feel it the most.
Yeah. I'll tell you who else is feeling it. Jake right now.
Why do you say that?
I'm changing my picture.
Oh, no, Jake. No, Jake, we don't want you to do that.
Hey, you know? Hey, shout out to the Duquesne Dukes, man, the best basketball team in Pennsylvania right now.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. All right, when we come back, for real, we're gonna do the only segment that matters.
And that's Hey Moan, sponsored by Duquesne Dukes.
And Rochelle Barnes.
At DK Pittsburgh Sports, we take pride in coverage that connects our city's fans to their favorite teams. Now, that connection's stronger than ever. Introducing our all-new state-of-the-art app. Find expert inside reporting and original podcasts. Check live box scores. Track the latest stats. Chat it up with our community of thousands of fans, all in one place. The new app from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Coverage that connects.
Now we have some good. I'm just going through some of these questions here. It's pretty good.
We do.
George Vukovich accurately points out that we have this passive aggressiveness that we Serbs have. He's right. He's a brother in that regard. Thing is, we start world wars. We're like, you know what I mean? Like other people start ish. Yeah. We start world wars. Like we started World War One. We were really deeply involved in World War Two. Gave a really good shot at World War Three a few years ago.
Really good shot. Come on, DK.
Yeah, it ended up being confined, fortunately, for the rest of the planet. Let's start with this one from a Steelers perspective.
All right, let me give
John says, should the Steelers take a chance on Cam Sutton? If you haven't seen the reports, Cam is in big trouble.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's actually been arrested on a domestic violence charge in Florida. And Cam, man.
Cam, man.
Where do you start? I mean, I know some stuff, but go ahead. You first.
Man, Cam, man. This is one of those situations. First and foremost, I'll say this. We don't know all the facts. Everything
and
has
he's
to
innocent handle itself until all that until stuff, right?
Proven guilty. The charges against Cam, if you hadn't seen it, he's wanted right now. There's a warrant out for his arrest for, what was it, for DK? Physical, what was it? Sorry, my bad. Aggravated battery, domestic violence. He's also facing domestic battery by strangulation. So it was some type of physicality that went on with Cam Sutton. Okay. With that being said, the NFL is hands off with a few things. One of those things is domestic violence. That's one of those things they don't tolerate. Tyreek Hill has a situation going on right now. We go back to Ray Rice. That is the one thing, especially when it comes to NFL players who are perceived a certain type of way anyway, as these big, strong, can't control themselves types of guys. I preface all that by saying I've never seen this side of a Cam Sutton, ever. I don't know if I've ever seen him mad. Maybe one time on the field where he was making a tackle or somebody did something to him. If you've ever met him and talked to him, he's a low tone, monotone, almost DK. Yeah. I've seen him at UT a few times. We both went to the same university. He's around his guys, laughing, having fun. I've never seen this. But again, I'm not blaming either party, and I'm sure both sides have something to do in it. What I will say is this, never, ever put your hands on a female, ever. Whatever the circumstance is, you walk away from it.
There aren't degrees to this.
Both sides.
It's one of the things that there's been a lot of discussion in baseball about domestic violence related to Trevor Bauer and why he's still sitting there unsigned, even though he could pitch his way onto any rotation anywhere. No. If you start your argument with something that's defending that, you're off to a bad start. Okay.
I
look at it right now and I say, where Cam is concerned, I feel like I got to know him, but then you don't. And it's one of the reasons that you got to be careful too. In this line of work where you say, oh, great guy, wonderful human being, da da da. No idea. You actually have no idea.
It's just the guy I know, the guy I've spent time around. And that's as far as I take it right there.
And that's as far as anybody's expecting it. to go here. The answer to the original question is a hell no. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Now,
there's that kind of cloud, and the Detroit Lions reacted the way they did. Yep. One thing you have to remember about, there's police investigations, and then there's NFL and team investigations. NFL has its own security force. Mm-hmm. Moan, can you talk to that? Who those people are and what they do for the league?
They're team employed people that the team trusts, that understands around that city that you're with. They have connections in every NFL city that's that has
a his name.
Say his name. Jack Kearney is Jack. His name. Jack okay. Kearney is his
Jack
name.
Jack is the one-man force. Jack is the cleaner. He's the problem solver.
100%. And every team has a Jack Kearney that is tied into every state law enforcement. It is, have been around the cities for a long point of time. And here's the other side of it too. Know how to navigate stuff too. I.e. if guys have an issue that is non-threatening, those problems go away more times than not. Right, DK? Or in a situation like this, if we don't have the information, which DK and I don't, and any other outlet don't, I don't care which big wig is reporting on Cam Sutton's situation, they won't have the information that the team security does, because they can talk directly to this person and hey, tell me what happened.
It happened, yes. And,
you know, the other thing that happens behind this team security is they have the backing of the NFL. I say it all the time. The NFL is like the CIA. They can get whatever information they possibly want from whatever agency they possibly can have a contact with.
After and they don't care what the charges are. They don't care how it gets followed through. They don't care if the police went through with anything. They have their own information, and they will judge you on that information.
And the other side is for, let's go, beer is good food, says on her, Sutton is done, stay away. There may be a lot of truth to that. And as far as him continuing his career in the NFL, may boil down to the truth that may come out, and can a team stomach having that black eye on their team? Because the moment you walk in and out of stadiums, the coach is going to be questioned about it at a press conference. The player is always going to be questioned about it in press conferences. And there's always going to be a separate situation that ties you directly to domestic violence on your team. That's a sucky, terrible situation for Cam and his children. And I'm not sure if it's his wife or fiance.
I think she's now, I don't know. That was the reason that you'll remember I reported. I actually broke this story. This was last fall. That the real reason that Cam Sutton had signed with Detroit instead of the Steelers was that he wanted to be in Detroit near where, I don't know respectfully if she's a wife or girlfriend or what.
Fiance probably, yeah.
Yeah, but he wanted to be closer to his kids, and she had them. So he signed with Detroit. Now, the Lions paid him, obviously, very well, the 3 years and 39. The Steelers really wanted to keep him. And again, you want to talk about not knowing everything, you know, that's a lot of money and a lot of commitment and everything else, that comes down to it here. Let's get into some purer football stuff here.
I got a good one at segue. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Let's get Joe in first here, since I already put him on the screen. Hey, Moan, after the Deshaun Elliott signing, which a lot of people like, by the way, do you think there's any way that the Steelers could still bring in another free agent safety? Justin Simmons would look awfully good right now.
Justin Simmons is a name you know and a name you think you can trust. But here's the thing about Justin Simmons. He's about to be 30, or he's already in his 30s as far as his career is concerned, right? So it's that side of it, too. And I know we got good stuff out of Pat Peterson, but you're also in a position where I've had somebody bring this up to me. Are you a Justin Simmons away from winning a Super Bowl to justify that sign? You know, when we signed Flozell Adams, we were a tackle away from potentially, you know, needing the depth to get us a Super Bowl. Those are the types of moves that you make. Now, if you're trying to compete and be a team that stays above the water, then, yeah, you sign Justin Simmons. But that also goes into his pay when it all boils down. And they'll make it work. How long do you want a guy like Simmons? 1 or 2 years or three? You're probably only going to get him for two max. So what are you doing in the meantime? If you got him on your team, you got a young guy that could get reps, then that also stunts the growth of the guys behind him, because a guy like him will not come off the field. You know, so it has to be balanced in asking for these type of guys. You have your two dudes at safety as far as I'm concerned right now.
Yeah, they got to stay on the field. I mean, the Steelers were going through safeties like crazy last year to the point where they were pulling in, you know, Eric Rose and so forth off the street.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's a lot that goes into signing. I hate to drop this on y'all again, but let's not be the Browns, okay? We ain't got to sign every hot name that had a good career in other places. We don't. I'm sticking to that one.
Jason Williams has a personal question for you, Moan. How did you feel after receiving your first NFL paycheck? Where was that, first of all? You wouldn't have been in Latrobe, right? That would have been in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh. Yeah, in Pittsburgh. Yeah. We got it.
You get game checks is what you get.
Game checks. Yeah, we got a half game check that week. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget getting it, where I was, how I opened it, and what I did right after that, man. We were on the south side. I was staying on the south side at the time, and we got it right before opening kick that week. My salary is all public anyway. It was like 10 grand what it was, and that's on the low, that was on the low totem pole when it comes down to what guys were being paid on the team. And I was relieved. I had a kid, I had a girlfriend who's now my wife right now, I had to take care of, and I had bills, and I was just like, I gotta figure this out, man. Really cool situation. I called her, took a picture of the numbers on the check, and was like, look at this. Like, it was oh my gosh. It was,
now it comes for people who don't know, it comes from the team. It doesn't come from the league. It doesn't have an NFL shield on it. It comes from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and knowing the Steelers, the way they do things, so, you know, loose and informal, it probably didn't even have their logo on it. Probably just said Pittsburgh.
It did. Actually, it was screen printed Steelers emblem on there, and then it had
that's cool.
They hand hand sign every check too. I don't think it's a stamp. So it's Mr. Rooney or one of the Rooneys or one of the front office managers signed that check. Relieved, Jason. Having a kid, going out on a whim to try to chase your dream. Oh my gosh. As an undrafted, whew.
Good stuff. Jim says, what about Eric Rowe? Since I just brought him up, Cam Hayward gave him props last season. You know who gave him the biggest props of all?
Who's that?
The head coach.
Mike T.
He not only loved him in all kinds of settings where, you know, you would expect him to in the game situations, because he did play really well. Rowe was the guy, him along with Miles Jack, that Tomlin was pointing to in Baltimore and in Seattle, these guys, as they were coming off the field, and he was saying, off the couch, off the couch.
I remember that.
Remember that? Yeah.
I do remember that. Which is
by the way. That's fantastic stuff here. But he played well regardless of his original couch status. You know?
Yes,
he did. Why not take a look at him?
And I think that's going to be the case for a lot of them. So you got to also think, we also traded for a DB too. DK, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like that we still have that on the docket too when it all boils down with Dante Johnson. So there's still that side of it too. I think they've been saying they want competition, and doggone it, I think we're going to see it this year. He's just another guy as far as Rowe is concerned that's on the competition committee right now.
Now, good stuff. Yeah, you had something that you wanted to call up here. What was it?
Yeah, man, because real quick, it's going to be a quick quarterback conversation, but I think it's the NFL in general. Development in NFL. J.J. Watt says something on one of the Kelsey's podcasts about Kenny Pickett.
Right.
Saying Kenny's issue was he was, you know, drafted, walked over to the facility, and started. You know what I'm saying? There's no room for development. And we give a lot of other positions grace when it comes down to development. But he was saying the idea that he's a little bit bitter and Pittsburgh's a little bit bitter also is probably on both sides. There's an expectation when you're a first-round draft pick, even higher when you're a quarterback too, and even more so when you're supposed to be more mature. Kenny also has to feel a certain type of way because he wasn't given the chance. But Kenny's chances, to me, I think were mostly self-inflicted. I'm just of the mindset that there is a fair take to be had about time and development and getting away from microwaving results. I love DK to be able to put in some leftovers, right, and have it within a minute and a half. But when you pull a steak off the fire or you smoke some meat for a very long time, there is a different taste and satisfaction in it. But not everybody has the patience to cook or to smoke their meats, right? And that's where we are as a league right now. So that's my parting gift to Kenny. Like, yeah, he should be a little ticked off. But it's also the conversation of if we see that quarterback doing the same things that you that was a lower round, why can't you do his thing? You know what I'm saying? And the self-inflicted stuff that happens along the way. I just wanted to give a kudos to the conversation that I saw that J.J. Watt, a future Hall of Famer, had about Kenny Pickett.
And is there fair points to make? You know, I'm always bringing it up, and I feel like I'm the only person on the planet who does that. The NFL needs a minor league in which they can assign players to and show a little bit more patience so that not every backward step is a fatal backward step. Okay. And that's what ends up happening with these young guys. I'm trying to picture a situation, and I'm inspired here by Ben Roethlisberger's statement a while back that talk to me after 3 years. Don't show me RG3 as a rookie. Okay. Show me RG3 after 3 years. Let's just say, for example, and not that I'm expecting this at all, but let's say CJ Stroud really regressed in Houston next year. Okay. None of us are expecting that. None of us should expect that. However, let's say that it happens. Let's say it happens to Will Levis in Nashville. Yeah. Okay. Where guys that showed you, especially Stroud, though, who showed well, what are you going to do with him? You're just going to bury him? You know, what do you do? Where can he go to get right?
On the field. No,
you know, but on what field? On the practice field as a second teamer. It's so crazy for an industry that'll openly acknowledge that it's so based on quarterbacks. Their ratings plummet whenever it's such a backup against backup, you know, and it's like Gardner Minshew on a Thursday night, and you're like, what the heck, man? I don't want to watch this.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. It does suck. Yeah. But what are you gonna do about it as a league? They don't have an answer for it.
The issue is everything is so fast and so quick. Like I was discussing this actually on my show. The separator between the ones that do and the ones that don't most often, DK, is this too, is their amount of starts in college. I think it's under 30 starts in college. Guys struggle coming out. You know, the two hottest quarterbacks right now, as far as young guys that have been drafted in the league, besides CJ Stroud.
And yeah, I was going to say besides. Yeah.
Besides him, Trevor Lawrence and Brock Purdy. The two. Geez. You know how many starts they had in the league? I mean, in college, Brock Purdy had over 40. And Trevor Lawrence had over 35, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he played a lot.
He played through it. What sucks these days, though, DK, and that's why I think Caleb Williams is going to be all right. What sucks, though, these days, and Jaden Daniels, I'm a his fan, too, is looking at a situation where guys have that one hot year, and then we have two separate drafts. We have everybody else, and then we have the quarterback. Because that quarterback had a great senior year, then it's time for me to make him a first-round draft pick. And that's where you cut yourself off at the kneecaps every single time, DK. The stats somewhat support playing more in college is actually helpful to you. Therefore, the NFL ain't a shocker to you, man. And I think Kenny was right at that threshold also, DK, with him changing schools and his starts as far as what his progressions was going to be. I looked it up just to confirm.
So yeah, that's good stuff from JJ Watt. I just like in general that JJ's been as outspoken and visible as he has. You hate to see a personality of his magnitude just go. 49. Who?
Kenny started 49 games.
Who did?
Kenny in college.
Oh, I told you he was there for half a decade. I know. This was brought up when he was drafted. You know?
Why is it?
And they keep calling him kid.
49 starts?
Yeah. This is just hitting you. Yeah, Donnan's all over this. And then 24 more in the National Football League. 24 more starts in the NFL. That's a lot of football. That's a lot of film.
Wow. That's a lot of tape. That's a lot of experience. That's a lot of everything.
But that's also a lot of answers that have been offered to you. Okay. If you've asked questions, those are the answers, you know.
Yeah,
Novak here says quarterbacks either have it or they don't.
That's fair. That's fair. The one constant I kind of want to see for Deuce, though, is same coordinator, same head coach also. That's where I think Josh Allen was given grace. His coordinator was there the entire time before taking a head job in with the Giants, Brian Daboll. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I didn't realize he had 49 starts in college. Never mind.
Yeah, either way. I wouldn't say the scouts blew it. Everybody knew exactly who he was. Are you kidding? He was playing right next door.
You know what I think?
He was there every day. They didn't blow anything. They didn't need to scout him.
You know what I think it turned into? I think you wanted a guy that you was going to be able to mold, meaning he was still going to be able to learn. But after watching his play and seeing how many starts he's had, I think he might have just been Tebow, stuck in his ways. Ain't no other way you can mold a guy that's played that much, right, DK, in that short of time, because his issues kept coming up. All right, we're done with that one. That's crazy.
Not until Mr. CJ jumps in with this dagger. Get the heck out of here. Get the heck out of here.
I was trying to give him grace, and here I was just, ooh, that's crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, what I was saying about JJ, JJ Watt, when you think of the stuff that he did, you know, for the city of Houston at the time of the hurricane and everything, just a larger than life presence. It's wonderful having him be there and be visible and be outspoken. I can't believe he's not on a network at this point.
Like, yeah.
That has to be his choice.
Well, he does it on Sundays. He does. He goes on, I think, with where's Cowher? Cowher's with CBS?
CBS, yeah.
Yeah. He goes on with CBS. He does.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know what Kenny's completion percentage was? It was 62.4. It was fair. That last year was 67%. Kenny made himself a first-round pick that year.
It's because he was throwing to, who's that wide receiver? Jordan Addison. Which caused the big spike. Addison got into his second year at Pitt, and he was catching everything in sight. And you know how that goes. You have a great wide receiver. Wow, why are we doing this again?
I know, man. We said we weren't going to do this.
We said we weren't going to do this. And this is your fault. You're the one that brought up. You're the one that brought up JJ.
I was trying to give Kenny a send-off. Like, legit, I respect him. And I've seen people on social media touting his house. Y'all want to buy Kenny's house? I'm like, come on, man. Don't do that. Like, we can talk about his play. But do you want to buy, like putting his stuff out on Front Street? I didn't necessarily like that, but I get that.
Wade Johnson points out that the Steelers have signed Bill Burr, the comedian, to be their new punter. Have you seen the pictures?
I have seen
it. It's pictures. Unbelievable. You're just waiting for him to break out in the Bill Burr routine.
He has to do that. He absolutely has to do that, DK.
He has to do the Bill Burr routine at the airport when he's waiting to board the plane, and he says everybody gets on, you know, now they now have an hour, and if you served in the military, and Bill Burr stands up and yells out, have you seen action?
Hey, man, he has all his limbs. he looks just like him, man. It's almost crazy. Like, that might be his pops. I'm gonna be real with you.
It's really, really creepy, actually.
It might be his pops, man. Absolutely.
Steven apparently wants to hear us talk about Home Improvement. The boss back here is all over the Home Improvement.
Dolly's getting to it.
She got boxes and boxes of new merch.
Is it all the stuff that you ordered?
No, she's smart. She did not get the big batch of Kenny Pickett jerseys.
In
3X. 3X.
I don't want one.
We have them back here. Anybody who wants some 3X Kenny jerseys, I ordered them.
Yeah, we're going to pass on now. I got one more. I got one more quarterback thing, DK.
Look,
I got
she
one
is. Look,
more,
look,
man.
3X, look, Mo. Guys. Three.
Tell Dolly I got a fire pit out back if she want me to use it.
No fire pits. We're not burning.
No
them.
Fire pit. Oh well, no. I mean that's what Duquesne does to a pit. Okay.
Oh man.
by the way, this dude has turned himself into one of the most classiest individuals to ever walk through Pennsylvania. Mason Rudolph. His last Instagram post of thanking Pittsburgh is about, I don't know if it's AI generated. I don't know if it's somebody wrote this, okay?
You know it,
it is by far one of the classiest send-offs I've ever seen in my blanking life for a dude that just caught the world by storm and that fan base. I'm still not over whoever commented yesterday by saying he saved Christmas. He did. No, it was in his comments. I was comment creeping last night, okay? Somebody said, I'll never forget how you saved Christmas.
I saw that, yeah.
And I was just like, you know what, doggone it? That actually makes sense. No, don't mess with my holidays. Like, and he did. He did, DK. Like,
I mean, people in the crowd were literally singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer that night, as cold as it was and everything. It was an amazing scene that night. It's one that I'm not going to forget.
Yeah,
I'll say the part that tells you that it's the part that tells you that it's not AI or whatever. And I know you're just joking, is that Mason doesn't just say, you know, I appreciated the four games that we had and whatever, because almost all of those were on the road.
Yeah.
Okay. It was Seattle. It was Baltimore, Buffalo in the playoff game. What moved him the most was the home game. Because, and I'm just going to lay this out for you guys, okay? He was stung by when he was getting booed, okay? That's because that's when you're in his role, that's the last thing you remember.
Yep.
Okay, that game where you got booed. It makes you a little bit, yeah. And there was a little bit of that, like, man, you guys are booing me. I've never even gotten a chance here. What are you doing? Okay? So he makes himself better. He goes out there. That stadium over there. And plays like that in front of those fans, that showed me something in that message where he singled out what it was like playing in that stadium and hearing from those fans that day. That tells you that it's legit.
No doubt, man. And I know he's got y'all for life as fans. And I see this right quick. I saw you know, if he gets a star for the Tennessee Titans, views are going to go up because of us. You're right. Because y'all are fans of him now, man. But I'm glad to see that, man. Just because from what JJ Watt was saying earlier about it being so quick, not having time to develop, Mason got time by just being around and he proved himself, whether this is all real or whether, hey, he never gets a shot again. Man, goodness gracious, what a send-off. That was just classy because he could have just dipped. You know, and then the last part to me was so good. To the fans, your love and passion for the team is what makes it so special to play here. I will never forget playing in front of Yens one final time this past December. All the best, MR.
That's what
and
he's
I was
talking
just
about.
Like, God dang it.
He could have said, I'll never forget the feeling in Seattle when. I'll never forget the feeling in Baltimore when. I'll never forget running out of the tunnel in Buffalo for a playoff game. He didn't do that. He pointed to the home game.
This SOB is a handsome SOB with a jaw like a friggin' superhero, okay? I'm like, you can't win at every daggone thing, Mason. Stop. Yeah. Stop winning so much.
he's the Christopher Reeve Superman.
He
you know?
Is. I get Nashville media on my social media, right? One of the dudes posts is like, I don't know if my girl is safe around this man. That was good. That's my homie, though, man. Shout out
to
Mason.
Good stuff. Joe wants to know if you've got space there in Hendersonville, Tennessee for him.
Bed is already made up for him, but I don't trust Mason around my house like that, man. He been and brought too many friends in here. Nah, I kid.
The Mason Rudolph posse.
Cool thing is, he can come through the laundry room and go right into the room. It's a matter of what happens there. I just leave it alone, man.
Jake actually wants to know, and this is an interesting question. I haven't asked you this myself. How has the Tennessee fan base responded to the signing of him? Do they just see him as like, here's a backup for Levis, or is there more to it?
I think they know there's more to it.
Okay.
Will Levis is going to get 100% of the shot. Like Mason's role is the backup support guy. And I think that's what made his signing a whole lot better was because he sat in that role. He understand what it means to support a guy. But there will still be questions, as you just said, with C.J. Stroud, right? Second year for a rookie quarterback like Will Levis. He's got more weapons I think he ever thought he'd ever have. They still got to fix his line, and injuries do happen if he doesn't stay in the pocket. Also, that is an issue of his. trying to be hero. Mason will be in a position that if he steps in, he's going to make it very problematic for the Tennessee Titans team.
Well, I mean, that should be exciting for the Titans. I mean, they know that they've got somebody that if they're it's just a healthy situation. Not that we care about the Titans here. But I'm just saying, I was so into Will Levis, and we talked about it at the time.
We talked about him
last year. You just don't give up on that kid easily.
No, Will Levis has everything you want in a quarterback, man. Like I said, he got to get away from, I'm a trash talk a little bit, Kentucky style of ball, okay? He's got to get away from that to where he think he has to save a team. No, sometimes just make the plays that are in front of you. He got a little bit of hero ball in him, and I'm hoping to see that jump for him because I cover that team now.
If you guys have a spare, I think it takes about a minute and a half, make sure you look up the song that they came up with for the DVE morning show today, based on, if you saw the Oscars, Ryan Gosling doing the I'm Just Ken. They do I'm Just Ken, but they changed all the lyrics to be about Kenny Pickett. And it is unbelievably funny. And it's stuff that people who are, look, even if you're like the biggest Kenny stan or whatever, go nuts, okay? The lyrics are just fantastic. Like classic DVE stuff.
Yeah.
It looks like some people have actually seen it. Yes.
I got to go see this, man. I have to. But again, I won't pile on him. Kenny will be fine. He's just got to see if Jalen Hurts is going to let him get some reps.
Yeah, but in Philly, they're never going to be that clever about it. They just boo you and MF you and everything else here. Here, we have a sense of humor about it. It's on Jimmy Crenn's Instagram. Yeah, it even covers like the stuff about him saying no, the one word answer when he was asked if he. But it's just you have to see it. It's unbelievable.
How do you spell his last Jimmy Crenn's?
K-R-E-N-N.
Okay, all right. Jim, I'm gonna find it in a minute.
You'll be glad that you did. Yeah, that's good stuff here. All right, last one for today. An actual question. Matt McGrath wants to know, hey Moan, what are your thoughts on trading down 2 to 5 spots in the first round with Philadelphia or Green Bay? Could move back just a bit and likely attain a second rounder for another position of need. Matt, you are football starved, my man. You're worried about those kinds of trades, dude.
Only issue is if you're trading back with Philly, do they take Jackson Powers Johnson because Kelsey's retiring, right? Those are the things you got to ask yourself in those moments right there. Who are they going to get that maybe you need, okay?
Yeah, that'd be the thing. I looked at some mocks last night just to amuse myself.
Fascinating, ain't it?
It is how different they are. Other than the top. Oh, my God, the top four are the same everywhere. Same. You see that?
A variation of the four.
Yeah, three quarterbacks and Marvin Harrison Jr. Everybody.
Yep. And they're trying to move Malik Nabers in that conversation and Rome a dozen like that in there too. A dozen, I think.
But I haven't seen Jackson Powers Johnson make it onto all the lists. I have hardly seen Zach Frazier, the West Virginia center, make it onto any of them.
Second rounders.
And that's what I'm thinking here. When you're looking at center, I don't want to reach.
Yeah.
I don't want to reach out of positional need because you said this. You either take Powers Johnson or just wait out Frazier.
Just wait out Frazier. Or Cedric Van Praan is another one. There's numerous guys that are I think 20 is a prime spot. If there's a corner that you want to go get, you got that guy at 20. Or if there's a tackle, like you're in a prime spot because that talent in that first 32 will be all right.
Philly booed Santa Claus says, Dr. K-side. Yeah, that's right. Philly booed Santa Claus and Nashville got Rudolph.
Yeah, we did get Rudolph, man. It's like that at times.
You like that?
I do like that.
On the DVE Rocks TikTok, Lori says, too. She's only watched it 150 times.
I got to see this. Oh, me oh my, DK.
You're really going to enjoy it.
I'm really going to enjoy it.
All right, we'll come right back after this this little outro. They didn't throw batteries. bad people, but they did not throw batteries. They booed. They threw snowballs.
I can believe batteries. I've seen batteries on the fence, on the field before.
Ever get hit by anything?
I have never got hit by anything, man. They weren't aiming for me. They was aiming for the bigger stars.
They were going for 7.
They was going for seven.
They got seven.
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
Cincinnati.
Then we got them in the win and loss column. How you feel about that, Cincy?
Still, look at him. He's still at that same stall at the right edge where the offensive linemen sit in the middle of the room. I can picture you over there.
Oh, man. This is just a filthy bunch, man.
Marquise, right to your left. You the whole line was down there on that. Marcus Gilbert all the way at the far end.
Yeah, and Dave and Al be on the other side over there.
They're on the other side. Weirdos, yeah. Renegades over there.
Renegades over there, man. Yeah, dude. What a day, though, DK. We got to what we wanted to talk about and everything. No, it was a good show. We addressed some stuff. Oh, I thought there was something else I had saved. It was the Bill Burr signing right here. This kept showing up right here. I was like, this one has to. I got to address this one because I've seen it like 20, 30 times.
The Bill Burr thing?
Yeah, the Bill Burr. We hadn't talked about it. So I was like, all right. It's unbelievable.
I hope this punter's funny. Because if he isn't, just imagine if he looks like Bill Burr but isn't funny.
If he's not funny, we go back and get Brad Wing. How about that?
Brad Wing's funny.
Yeah, Brad Wing's funny. Okay? We go back and get him if he's not funny. If he doesn't have a funny bone in his body, DK, we dog him out on this show, and we go get another guy.
I love it. Nicole gets the final word today, says, Moan, I love your disdain for the Bungles. I'm stuck living near Cincy, she says.
Shame. I hope at least the housing market is low or something where they make it affordable for you to stay there. You're only like 4 hours away from Nashville, so you can always come visit us.
There you go. It's a little, I think it's 4 hours. Yeah, it is kind of.
It was about 4.5, I think, from Ohio. Louisville's only about, an hour and a half to me.
Like, yeah, it's less than two.
Yeah. Hour 45. You're right, about less than two.
We'll see you guys tomorrow, everybody.
Hey, peace, good people. He's all right.